Here I am, Frank. Get ready to meet your maker.
Oh, God! We hadn't even started yet!
I'm out here all the time, bro.
I'm 300 days a year on the motherfucking water.
All right,
every
bro.
Every day, I'm the best charter captain you'll ever meet in your motherfucking life.
All right, bro.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Musties on Tap. Welcome to episode number 99. We are 1 week away, folks, getting to that 100th episode. We're going to have something pretty sweet dialed up for you, something that the viewers have been, or the listeners, I should say, have been waiting for on the edge of their seats for a while now. But I'm one of your hosts tonight. One of your three hosts, Gus Manti, and we're going to be diving into some on-the-line segments, getting those listener call-ins and answering those, so I'm looking forward to it. But tonight, we got a special person back here. He was missing last week. We didn't really address it in the intro. We rifled on him during the pod. I absolutely doubt you listened to it, Brian. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but damn. Now I got to listen to it. curious to see what y'all had to say about me. If you knew I listened to it, you probably wouldn't be showing your faces tonight. So that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, good to be back. Excited to break into some on the lines. Talk about some current events. We got some cool stories to break down that we've seen. We might bring back the old comment of the week segment from social media that we found. I think Max found a gold one there, so excited to share that later on. Good to see you, boys. Max, how you doing?
Doing good, yeah. Excited for a good old-fashioned just shooting the shit type episode here. Like you said, we'll probably dive into a few interesting things we've seen on the interwebs here this week, last couple weeks. It's been spicy in the musky section of Facebook lately.
And
all other socials, so it's given us some good stuff to maybe chat about here. Fired up to be back here with you guys this evening. Brian, always a damn pleasure to have you back on the mic, man. It's just there's something missing when you're not around, you know.
Man, that's good to hear. I'm ready to roll tonight, and when you guys fired over some Facebook posts for me to look at that we might share tonight. I don't go on Facebook much, and so every time I do, I'm amazed by the chat boards on there, filled with people, full of hot takes and comments. You can't get that anywhere else, so that'll be fun to break down.
I feel like you're missing out, man. That's kind of your people. Like, that's your gig, you know? Just get in there and mix it up a little bit.
I don't want to get caught up on people? Facebook. Yeah.
I don't know if it is. Brian would be a dangerous man. You'd have to change your name on there, I think.
Yeah, I need to get a burner before I can go back on Facebook.
Right.
Know a thing or two about those. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Gus? Should we maybe start by talking some of the stuff we've seen online lately, or should we dive into the calls first? What are you feeling?
You know, let's dive into one call here. Let's get it fired up. I need to make sure I grab the right one. And then we'll kind of go into some current events, but we kind of got one was interesting, you know, is bringing up a point here that we might need to address. So let me just let her
hold on, guys, real quick. Your Gmail profile picture. What are you holding there?
That's a bonnet head shark, my boy.
Damn, he catches everything. Guy can catch everything.
Remember that trip, Brian? You were along for that one. We caught rays and right off the beach. We just bought shrimp and some hooks, and then we caught bluefish, and we just chopped them up on the beach. Not sure if that's legal.
Ladyfish?
Or not. Yeah. We were like, I don't know, 13 years old or something.
I think just anything goes in Florida.
Statue of Lane has run anyways, so you're good.
All good. All right, we got the first on the line right here.
Hi, this is Nate from Pittsburgh. Hey, I was just curious, are there a lot of Polish people that musky fish up where you guys are from? I'm just asking this because I'm in part of this group chat, and there's some anti-Polishness going on. So I just wanted to, I was curious what you guys think about that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Shout out, Nate.
Anti-Polishness going on.
I don't even know, like, I can't pick out a Polish if you put 100 of them in front of me. I don't know what I'm looking for there, but What group chat
Block.
is he in that's getting pulled a shit talk?
I think one that you were in as well, the old
Really?
Hunksmiths one. Yeah.
Must have missed that.
Something was brought up about Polish and Green Bay, and I don't know. I think that's where it was left at.
Hell, I might be
But that's,
Polish.
yeah, maybe.
I'm
Got
just
anything on that
Googling right
next?
now. I'm
Oh.
Googling right now just to see. You know that there's a Polish Anglers Association, the PZW. They got
Oh.
900,000 members. So
They
if
had a
you're
lot of
hating on the
Polish.
Polacks, just letting you
Is
know
that
they got some numbers behind them.
correct? The Polacks? I think so.
Sounds right,
Triple
right?
plural or something? Yeah. Polacks. All
Yeah.
right, get off the Polacks back, people. From Nate
Yeah.
Bud.
I'm
We
not sure how
will.
many Polacks we have muskie fishing in the North Woods, but hey, we'll welcome them with open arms.
Yeah.
We welcome all muskie fishermen, all anglers.
I don't think I've ever met a Polish before, come to think
You probably have, Brian.
Sure, yeah.
That's an outrageous statement. All right, well, shout out Nate Bud from Big
Frequent
Bird.
caller. Guy
Frequent
loves to
caller,
call
long time
online. Good to
caller, long
see.
time listener. That was very good to see. All right, let's hit some current events. Or Max, do you have that one comment fired up on the Pike photo that we were kind of chatting about this week?
I do. Yeah, I guess we can start there. It's so our good friend David Dykowski, who caught a well, he's
Right out.
had quite the run this last winter of catching these giant pike, and like good man does, he's protecting his bite and posting all the pictures now. And he had sent us a comment that went through the Facebook airwaves that just had it all from start to finish. So I wanted to read it and get your guys' quick reaction. I don't know if this segment is actually a segment, since I don't know if we've done this. Maybe we've done this once as the Facebook dumb comment of the week. But it would be fun to bring it back, intermittently. It's not going to be a weekly thing, because it's kind of tough.
Yeah,
It's
they're
not a
usually
segment
pretty,
segment.
yeah, they're tough reads sometimes.
All right, so this is in response to a beautiful 48-inch, I believe by like 26-inch
Yeah,
girth pike.
mid to upper, yeah, it was like at least mid 20-inch girth, I want to
Yeah,
say. It was
just a
big,
giant
really
of a pike.
big.
Comment on Facebook below that picture. An excellent northern pike for sure. Hang on, I'm just gonna back this up. I'm just gonna read this in the voice. I believe that this would make it most entertaining. An
Polish
excellent
voice?
northern pull an excellent northern pike for sure. Congratulations. They are out there though that could eat this 48-inch plus fish, because I personally have seen one. Unfortunately, we could only put half of her in my very big salmon net back in 1974.
Very
I
big
am over 6 feet and she was longer than I am
unit.
tall, and her circumference was as large as my torso. I
Damn,
can make this
huge.
statement that I would never have been able to lift her myself. She swallowed my 2-foot steel leader
Whoa,
and bit me off.
heyo.
We couldn't hold in the net, even at our feet, fishing from the Michigan River. Those monsters are practically impossible to land, is why you never see them, and one person can't lift them. Enjoyed your story. This is my favorite part. That's not part of that. Keep trying, and you may actually see one an 8-footer bigger in your lifetime.
Wow.
This, but by a keen eye that David had, this was posted on April Fool's. So David responds, "You just barely got that comment posted during April Fool's. Otherwise, I would have been concerned." The response, "I wasn't joking, but I am not here to try to impress anyone. I don't really care if you believe me."
Oh my God.
Don't
He
really care
doubled
if you
down.
believe me.
It's doubled down.
Well,
Not trying
maybe
to.
this. I mean, we got to figure out what this guy looks like. I mean, if she was long, he's 6 foot, we know that. But her
Is he
circumference
though?
was as large as his torso. I mean, that can vary. That can vary a lot. If this guy's an absolute unit, then this fish
True.
is bigger than a bus.
So
I
this
mean, we're
is
still
like bigger
talking an
than a
8-foot northern pike,
trophy.
though.
And we're talking like a trophy tarpon size, damn near.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
Bigger than
pushing like a
that.
buck 20, buck 50
Oh,
pound
pretty much.
range.
Yeah, I guess you're right. 8 footer. I believe it. I'm all ears. I wish we could give a
Do.
shout out, but
Yeah,
more
we're
of
gonna
a
keep his
name
name.
rumbling.
We'll keep his name out of it. It's just too good to not do it. We could even call him, our little weekly readings. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, that one was too
Just
good.
outrageous to also say after the fact that it wasn't an April Fool's joke and say, I'm not here to brag or I'm not here to impress anybody. That's an
No,
out. Then don't.
my
That's crazy.
my favorite part is the little tap on the head, like, hey, keep trying, bud. You know,
Well,
that
yeah.
48
Maybe
incher was cute, but
he goes on, like, probably flexing his actual PB, and he starts with David, comma. I didn't mention she swallowed my 2 foot leader right after I landed my 42 and a half inch Northern Pike.
a
So I mean,
realistic
shout
size.
out, 42 and a half, great fish there, pal. I'm
Dandy.
wondering what maybe we had some play involved there. Maybe there was some substance that led him to believe that he was seeing things that weren't real. That's the only way I can imagine what's going on here.
Now you're accusing the man of taking drugs?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
Substance.
Yeah,
Substance.
yeah.
Doesn't have to be drugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was good stuff. All right, Gus, why don't you fire up another voice memo? We can mix in another hot topic after this one.
All right, let's see. Let me run through here and see what's
I'll do Josh's.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna yeah. All right. Let us fire it up.
Hey, Mott boys, it's Josh Gessler here. Just wanted to say I love the pod. Keep it up. I loved it since the beginning. I wear that damn sweatshirt all the time.
Sweet.
I just was seeking some
Let's go.
expert advice on a little scenario I have. Since you guys are avid fishermen, friends with a lot of people who fish, I'm sure you guys have lent baits to people. What do you do when you lend baits to people and they don't ever give it back to you? Nor do they not give it back to you. They don't even catch any freaking fish on it. There's a little scenario I've ran into, and I need that expert mod advice, specifically from Brian. All right,
Oh,
thanks. Bye,
god
guys.
damn. Dragging me into the woods here. Man, well, seeing as though every bait I've ever bought is in Gus's possession for the most part, I guess I can speak on this.
Yeah, let her rep, let her rep.
Man,
Not everyone's caught
I'm
fish, though.
trying to build a plan in my head of what you can do to get this thing back within the, constraints of the law. That'd be pretty tough. You can't hold them hostage. Yeah, I don't know if you want to go as far to slash tires. It depends what favorite bait
Wow.
it is. If someone takes my flap tail, it's one thing. If they break my flap tail,
Right.
yeah,
So,
I don't want to incriminate myself or
did
nothing,
we
but
clue Brian into a very key piece of information on this call in from Josh?
well, the key piece of information is that it's about me. So
Right.
that would be, yeah, probably the
It would
biggest
be pretty key
bit of information there.
Max
Josh,
has one of Josh's baits.
I am sorry, man. I am sorry. Look, from the bottom of my heart, I wanted to bring that bait back the six different times that I forgot it up north.
That's convenient.
I will get that bait back into your boat by June 20th at the latest.
Wow.
Mark my words.
And
That
if not,
is a guarantee, son.
if not, Josh, I can
Guaranteed.
plug you his address if you don't know where he lives and get you hooked up with a little payback mission.
That's the problem is the bait is still in Eagle River. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my issue. As we brought it up, he lent us a very beautiful baby wood tick for the PMTT Championship back in September. I was fishing with him on Tonka, and I was like, man, this thing looks nice. And it was in the old it was the old Joe Bucher color that we used to call Bloody Mary or Thanksgiving Din, I
Thanksgiving
think.
dinner.
Yeah, we used to call it Thanksgiving Din. for no reason. And it's like that gold red. I think it's called
Oh yeah,
Goldilocks
Thanksgiving
originally.
din. Thanksgiving din.
And yeah, I was like, man, this could be dynamite on the chain. And unfortunately, it did not. I didn't. It ended up not really getting wet that often. And I do want to use
There you
that
go.
more, but I
Yeah.
will be giving you your bait back, and I will be buying my own.
We just brought Ryan back to just say AO a few times.
Sorry, Josh.
Sorry. All right, shout
Sorry,
out
Josh. We
Josh.
will shout out.
Yeah. Well, I'll
Shout out,
remind him
Josh.
maybe.
Thanks, Brian.
Unless I like the bait.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Should we go back to a current event or just keep letting these rip on the Let's
line?
just ping pong back and forth.
Let's hit a current event.
Yeah, we got some good ones to discuss here.
What are we looking for? We discussed two before we started recording, and could really go both ways.
Lead the way, bud.
All right, let's just keep on the Facebook train. We should have another outrageous thing pop up on the Facebook feed that I believe at this point, for sure, when this pod comes out, we are recording in advance since I will be gone for a week. So unfortunately, we'll address this later. We're not going to be saying the winner of the March Madness Bracket Challenge until the socials or the following week. But anyways, there's been a video that has popped up about a charter captain down in Florida, I presume. I actually don't even remember.
Yeah.
Not super important that basically almost jumped on, jumped on somebody's boat
Not
and
almost. Oh,
he did,
yeah.
sorry, he almost did, and then he did. And I don't even know what to say about what he did to this kid. He just went off.
Well, I mean, for anybody that hasn't seen it, basically there's a kid fishing under a bridge and they have, these columns that are probably 20 yards wide. And you fish in between them. I've fished them on charters before. I'm usually like casting netting for bait under the bridge. So people are always sitting there idling, fishing or whatever. And from the sounds of it, this unnamed guide went flying through the under the bridge in the dark, prior to sunrise. And I guess you're not supposed to go full speed through these like 20-yard wide columns under the bridge. And basically, he
Yeah.
comes over, starts screaming at the kid, like, you shouldn't be fishing here without lights on. But he was mistaking the kid for a different boat. And the kid keeps saying, like, that's not me, man. Keep going on your way. Like, get out of here. Like, quit giving me a hard time,
Yeah.
basically. And the guy just keeps teeing off. And you can feel the anger just brewing inside this guy that pulls up, who also has. What is it, two or three other guys in the boat with him?
Yeah, a couple. Two or three
Yeah.
other fishermen. And yeah, not to mention, before we continue on this, looking at the video, it is not the only opening to go under this bridge.
No.
This is not a northern Wisconsin going between a channel to the next lake. This is a bridge going across like a bay or a,
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it, but it's, a mile long or something. I'm just, making that up, but it's
About as
got, he's
wide
got
as any lake on
options.
the chain.
He's got
I mean,
options.
gosh. The guy's just like, I mean, just what a
Just
Rick,
a
man.
lunatic.
What a
Yeah.
Rick. I mean, seriously, like, I know obviously goes to your guide and it's just that just felt like the most stereotypical, like, this is just my water, and anyone who's just stepping out of line is just gonna hear about it. Even when
Yeah.
this kid really wasn't, at all. And it was like every bad stereotype in a human with that's like a fishing guide that just thinks that they're fucking sick.
Yeah.
You can just
Yeah.
tell. Like, he's
He thinks he's
listing
the
off his
best.
goddamn credentials as he's cussing this kid out. Like, he
Yeah.
just
Fishes 300 days a year. I'm the best, best fucking guide in this whole area or whatever. It's like, all
It's
right,
like
dude.
every bad thought that was probably buried in his subconscious brain of what he's always wanted to say is just like
Yeah.
just got like let out,
Well,
through like a tirade.
There's steam coming out of his ears, and I guess
Respect me, damn it.
half the shit is just not true. He's like we're all Marine vets, everyone on this boat. And then like all the comments like looked him up or whatever, and they're like, no, not quite. And like he's just fuming, spewing out shit.
Making stuff
And the
up.
kid's like, I'm sorry, sir. Like, I don't mean to disrespect you, but like, can you please just keep going on your way? The guy just gets more mad, more mad. And towards the end, he like pulls his boat towards the kid. And I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, now they're going to get face to face. And he just like backs his tail end into him, hops on the kid's boat. The kid like quickly jumps behind his center console and like guns it. The guy gets on the boat and is holding on to the center console, and they're kind of playing like a game of tag around the, around a tree in the middle. And
It's crazy.
and they're just yelling, and the kid's freaking out. I mean, rightfully so. Like, is gonna push him in and drown him? Like, what's this,
Yeah, at
hothead?
that point, you don't know. I mean, some
What's the
random
game
dude just
plan
jumps
here?
on your boat and,
Yeah.
like, he's clearly just
Yeah.
apoplectic, like, can't be controlled. And,
Yeah.
like, you're out in the middle of the ocean. And it's like that. Yeah, that would not be. That would be fucking scary as hell. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And
I'd be
I don't know.
very extremely scared in this situation. I mean, yeah, the kid did a really good job holding his own. Like, when even when this guy said he was a veteran or whatever in a very, not cool way, he was still like very respectful. And then it's just like, man, you gotta back off, and not a fun situation. There's things that happen up around here. That's probably one of the worst I've ever seen. You see some stuff on Facebook, people filming, people getting in fist fights on like shore fishing, taking their spots and whatnot, or who knows? It's
Yeah,
always over
it's
something
just,
really, really stupid.
man, it's just, yeah, it's a damn shame to see. Like, I know you can get frustrated when you're out on the water, but like, ah, man, you're just
Yeah,
fishing,
it's
man, having a good
also it's
time. Like,
it's the
just,
video is just insane. Like, I not that I can understand it, but like it would make more sense if this guide was alone, and obviously the kid's alone, but the guide is being an absolute idiot in front of three other dudes on his boat who I don't know, necessarily who they are, but like you're gonna act like that in front of people. I don't know if he was guiding or if they were just his buddies, but like either way, even if they are your friends, it's still psychotic behavior and they're gonna see that. So like I
yeah.
don't
I
know.
mean, whether
Bad
you're
move,
alone
though.
or together, it's just like the whole thing was just terrible. And I don't know. It's just, yeah, it was a tough watch, honestly. It was just a tough
Yeah.
watch. And like, it's easy to get road rage or get pissed when you're out on the water, but like, more times than not, it's just not gonna end well. Like, cooler heads. Will
No.
prevail. I mean, there's plenty of times, Gus, we've been out there, and whether somebody's too close, like you can get mad or whatever, but at the end of the day, like you never know what situation you're gonna make a lot worse if you turn around and start cussing that person out or get super pissed. Like I
They
think
might just hop in your boat.
it might just hop
They
in your
might just hop
boat. I
in your
mean,
boat.
you never know
Kill
who
them with
they are,
kindness
you never know
or
who they
leave.
are too. It's not a
Yeah.
big Not a big world, sometimes. So you gotta tread carefully when you're, I don't know. I
The
feel
other
like
crazy, the
people.
other, like, the last thought here is like, it's being recorded by a camera on the kid. I'm assuming like a GoPro head mount or something. Like, does this guy just assume like,
Just
oh,
not see
GoPro's
it.
not running, and like, well, I can, yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. And he's got,
Or he
a
thinks he's
guide
cooking.
service. Yeah, he probably thought he was cooking. I mean, but he's got a guide service. Like, what the hell happens to his business after
He's
this?
a
Yeah.
captain. Yeah, there's a whole lot. I mean, I guess there it says there's like a police investigation on it or something.
For
Or
sure.
the thing that's being tossed around that's hilarious is like is the Facebook flag, the blue flag saying marked safe from the best fishing guide in the world today. I'm the best fishing guide in the world. I think he said the world. He said I'm the
Yeah.
best tarpon fishing guide in the world.
I mean,
Shit.
shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
Jesus
seriously, dude. Just sit
Christ.
the fuck down.
Like,
Mic
shut
the
the
fuck
fuck we can
out.
talk shit until we go book him ourselves and see if he can put us on some tarpy. Want to see Meg like that again? Just get Brian on his boat.
Yeah. Why didn't you net it? What are you doing? Just get on his shit. Yeah. Not a good
Perfect.
idea. Don't poke the
Yeah.
bear.
Don't poke the bear. God. Well, yeah, interesting stuff. Moving along though, let's fire up another on the line.
All right, let's do that. We got one in here from Austin W.
What's up, boys? Austin from Northern Illinois here. I got a non-fishing related question for you. Something that crosses our mind every time we head north. Is everyone from Illinois classified as a fib? You know, my brother and I come up every year, and I think we do the state of Wisconsin a favor. You know, between the musky shop, bars, our cabin, and our restaurants, our pockets are hurting by the end of the trip. But, you know, we don't regret any of it. No other way we'd rather spend our money than the great state of Wisconsin. Is it our driving? Is it the fact most of us flock there when the weather gets nice? And, you know, is there anything we can do to be less of a fib? Let me know. That's all I got. Thanks, boys.
No.
Appreciate it, Austin. That is a tough one. What'd you say, Brad?
You okay, pal?
Oh, my God.
Change that residency.
Right. Yeah.
That ain't right.
I don't know. I mean, what is, I have like one idea of kind of the knock of Chicagoans making their way north, but, you know, just in general, what is it about them from your guys' perspective? I mean, are we just territorial? Like, this is our state. You don't have a right to enjoy it kind of thing?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because they obviously add to the tourism and the whole area, bringing, you know, dollar bills. You can say what you want about that, but I think it's the obvious stereotypes of driving like absolute maniacs. I mean, there's definitely some Wisconsinites I've come behind that are That's Wisconsin plates, average. And they're driving 5 to 10 under on a bright, beautiful day. When I guess they just got nowhere to be, where I've also been driving up going 10 or so over and get passed by an Illinois plate that's going 20 to 25 over the speed limit.
See, I respect that. If they all did that, I'd be very happy.
That's literally how Brian drives.
That's true. We got the wrong guy in the chat.
How Brian drives.
I didn't know y'all Illinois people were like that.
They are like that, dog. It is great, but
I think the thing that pisses me off, you know, not ready right now, but in the future I hope to be, and that is to buy a place up north. And you got all these damn rich Illinois people coming up, driving up prices on the North Woods, taking my frontage, my water
frontage,
my future water frontage. You know, yeah. Paying $1 million.
You are, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what prices will be? But I'm not happy it's the Illinoisans taking it.
I honestly don't think it's as much as the people from Illinois that are coming up to fish that people have a problem with. You know what I mean? Like, and even that, I would say, you know, and I worked at the Chanticleer back in college on the channel between Voyager and Eagle on the Eagle River chain. Shout out. Some of the nicest people we met up there were Northern Illinois, Chicago type people. So maybe it's just a bad stereotype, bad rap from the past. I mean, it could also be the fact that like
bad eggs.
A lot of the, you know, gangsters and stuff from Chicago used to vacation up in the North Woods, and that probably, you know, started a little bit of a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Yeah. I heard them gangsters and mobsters were really polite, nice people.
Chill those people
that respected them.
Mm-hmm. Really low key.
Obviously,
yeah.
High key if you get on their bad side, you might be 6 feet under or at the bottom of Catfish Lake. So
yeah, I think it's just kind of a funny stereotype at this point. You know, I mean, I don't have no room to talk. I mean, I come from Minneapolis every single, you know, most weekends.
Yeah, but that's a lot better than Chicago,
I guess.
You don't have that Chicago ego about you. You know, people showing up like it's Nantucket.
Yeah, also, but Austin could be from just some small town in Northern Illinois. Like, what's the difference between that and Janesville?
I wouldn't know that they're from Illinois.
That's true.
They'd fit right in.
Right.
Unless they're flying Chicago Bears flags and shit off their boat. Don't do that. You're not gonna
Don't do that.
Straight up not cool, but
yeah.
Wear normal things.
Yeah, no, just be a Packer fan and musky fish.
Yeah.
And you're good.
You will never, nobody will ever suspect a thing, like at all.
Yeah.
Put your shit kickers on and a flannel and call it good. You don't need to say you're from Illinois. Make it a big deal.
But anyways, got a lot of buddies now from Northern Illinois. And
shout out.
A lot of places of Illinois. So shout out them.
Yeah, shout out those guys. Good guys.
Shout out those guys.
All right.
Should we go back into the last current event hot topic before we get into some more on the lines?
Yeah
sure, we can do our best to speak about this in an educated fashion.
Yeah, we will try, because it's a current event that's not something that's set in stone or anything, but
We're just gonna be spitting, just a little
yeah,
chat form live.
shooting from the hip, if you will. Hip
Shooting from the
fire.
hip.
Yeah.
So there's been an ongoing discussion over in the great neighboring state of Minnesota on the old forward-facing sonars, live scope, whatever you want to call it, that has been kind of going on, especially about their Great Lake of Leech, where, the famed Leech Laker strain of Muskies come from. And that is a great natural resource that they have there, phenomenal fishing of all kinds of things. And the proposed, what was it? Basically, no, what they're trying to propose is no sharpshooting in the months of June and most of July, basically. It's really just trying to protect, honestly, the most vulnerable a muskie can be. They're post-spawn. They are done with their, the toughest thing they have to do every single year, beat each other up, spawn, peace out, go out deep, recover, and eat and recover. That's the big word there. And of course, as we know, they've been getting absolutely beat to shreds more than they ever have. There's pioneers way back in the day that did some open water things, but not to the extent that some of these Minnesota people have been doing, just because it's a much larger lake. Those muskies seem to pack up a lot more. It's not anything I've really seen over here in Wisconsin. Yes, they go in open water. Yes, they could be sharp shot. And yes, they are sharp shot up here, but not to the extent of a place like Mille Lacs, Leech, these big western and northern Minnesota lakes. So that has kind of been an ongoing discussion, and it's not, gone too much further to my knowledge. I know it's just been addressed and talked about, and they had meetings and whatnot. I was not in
To me,
attendance to any of them.
it's the first real step in trying to regulate live scope
Yeah,
and
because
just recreational fishing.
it's only been regulated in tournaments. Anybody can just go grab and buy however many live scopes and go fish how they want, when they want, outside of, said tournaments that ban them or reduce them or limit your screens and whatnot, like stuff like that. But yes, it is basically the first time it could potentially be banned to just somebody who wants to go out and catch a muskie in the month of June or something like that, for example, in
So,
Minnesota.
real quick, Brian. All right, actually, you, Brian, you go ahead, then I'll ask my question after.
Yeah, I think it's like the right idea. I think something needs to be done. I just don't know how realistic it is. I mean, like, okay, are you gonna just ban the technology as a whole? No. Are you gonna, are you gonna police it? DNR gonna police it? No. I mean, you'd have to
No.
hire a shit ton more people. Like, it seems almost impossible to enforce. I don't know. I don't. I'd like to see something done. I'd like to see those fish protected and then caught, more in a fair manner, but I don't know how it's possible.
Yeah. I guess I was going to ask the question of like a really simple yes or no question. Like, say all things considered and all, this is going to be a dumb question because it's like really all reality aside. Like, if there was a way to enforce it, if it was super easy to do, do you think it would be beneficial, or like would you guys support a ban on live scope for the months of, June and July?
Yeah.
Like, and that and that's I'm talking w Wisconsin, Minnesota, like across the West here. Yeah. I
I mean, I
mean,
think a lot of
it's
people with them probably would say yes too. At least
yeah.
from what we've been seeing on social media, the way that people have come full, not, I shouldn't say full circle. People that have used it since the beginning saw what it's capable of, know how to use it, and just don't like it anymore. Just flat out, like, this is not a fun way to fish, but it's a thing. It is absolutely a way to catch these muskies, and more effectively than anything else.
Yeah. And I just think it's really hard for us, like, even Me living in the cities, and fishing more Minnesota stuff. Like I'm not up, we're not up on leech. We're not up on those, big, deep, clear systems that this has kind of become so rampant. So it's a little bit, I feel like it's a little harder for us to like really dive in a little bit, even though I know it feels like we really should.
Right. Well, it is tough.
Because
We were
like,
brought up old school. We fished small musky water in retrospect to the Great Lakes in Minnesota. I mean, obviously in Wisconsin, the Eagle River chain of lakes is fairly large, but it's not known for big fish. Yes, there's a couple big ones, but we're just brought up in a different manner, I should say.
Because like
There's
the thing
never a
that,
thought
and this
about
is just a genuine question, like anyone who's listening to this, like please DM me, because this is the thing I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around, is like, and we, I think you guys also agree with this, like I have a hard time wrapping my head around this, where you read all these people's comments, you know there's been some people that have kind of put out certain posts. Obviously there was a lot of engagement when they were talking about this meeting that they had about it. And so you kind of read through the comments and you kind of get the same regurgitated stuff. But at the same time, something that kind of feels like, I don't know if it's what the word I'm looking for, but it's like, it feels to me that like the people that are using LiveScope have been doing extremely well musky fishing, like catching more fish, catching larger fish. And that's the reason, like, that's the argument that people that want to ban it or like aren't using it are saying like this is too easy. Anyone can go out there and do it. You can catch all these fish. They're not meant to be caught at this rate. XYZ down the line. And then on the other hand, it's like the people that aren't using it, I've seen some people say like this was one of my worst seasons I've ever had. Leech has never been in worse shape. I'm struggling when I go up there, like, and all this stuff of people that are saying like I can't, musky fishing sucks now in Minnesota. And so it's just crazy to me that there's this huge feast or famine mentality, whether it's like you're either using LiveScope and you're crushing it or you're not, and maybe you're still catching fish but not like that much. I just don't feel like we can relate to that much in Wisconsin.
No.
Like, would you guys agree to that? Like,
Right. We have so many, it's just our sheer number of opportunities of different types of lake. I mean, I could probably say, depending on the lake you go to, year round, you could find an active musk in sub 7 feet of water every single day of the entire year. We've seen it. We've caught muskie on little tiny shiners while pike and walleye fishing in the middle of winter, 4 feet of water. And, late fall, I just made a recent post of catching two fish in sub 4 feet of water in November. Yeah, it's something that we can't exactly relate to.
Yeah, I think our lakes are just set up way different, shallower, smaller as a whole. But yeah, I've heard that same thing where everybody's like, it's just ruined the fishing in Minnesota. Like, if you don't have a live scope, like, good luck. I mean, it's just two different worlds of musky fishing. But I don't know. I'd like to think even that the live scopers would notice that the muskies' movements as a whole has changed over the last few years. And what it sounds like is these fish aren't relating
The
their typical
behavior.
spots that they, yeah, typical behavior isn't the same as like, the prior, 10, 20, 30 years. So I think it's obviously had an effect on the fish and like their migration patterns, I guess.
It's weird. Yeah, there's so many bizarre things I can kind of think of from last season on even just raising fish on like basic weed edges. Like you would raise a fish and just I don't know, never to be seen ever again. And just the movements were definitely bizarre last year, but of course it's to my benefit. I'm on the water every day, so I'm able to track these things down, maybe have an off half day, and then after that, boom, pick it right back up and find them again. But
Gus, you had mentioned something like someone, I don't know if you saw it, read about it, someone told you, but a way
yeah.
that maybe this would be able to be like enforced.
So totally, somebody totally messaged me if I'm speaking out of my ass here, but I thought I saw something about the fact that our units, Humminbird, Lowrance, Garmin, whatever you got, they're high-tech units. They cost a lot of money. They got a lot of internals into them. They're GPS, everything. You got it all in there. That these companies with their, softwares that you can basically just update your graph from your phone without ever having to plug it in or anything. It obviously has a network, they can control it. So basically, if your graph is reading a certain depth, because their proposal on Leech, one of the things was you just can't, you can musky fish in June, July, you just can't fish deeper than 20 feet to protect the pelagic fish. Your graph will know when it's in deeper than 20 feet. Obviously, it reads, your depth. And if your depth's over than 20 feet, it can, I think, have the ability to shut down one of your sonars, aka LiveScope or forward-facing sonar. So if I was in 22 feet of water in Leech, my LiveScope unit wouldn't work. My graph would say no sonar, sonar disabled, or whatever it does. If that's a thing, that's pretty crazy. That's obviously something that was just tossed out and a thought.
That'd be
I don't even
sweet.
know. That would be
Yeah,
yeah. That's
but like
but
you
how
said, there's a
what
lot
if
of gray
I
area.
there's a great what I was gonna bring up. It's like, what if I'm a walleye guide on Leech, and in July, by that time, you might be catching walleyes in deeper than 20 feet
Yeah, you're so.
primarily, and you want to get to your clients on some walleyes to, I don't know,
Your job.
get their limit, do his job, do their job, sorry, and then their live scope that they purchased just doesn't work because of us musky fishermen.
I think the
So,
only rebuttal to that from people that want to ban though would just be like, well, we shouldn't have that capability anyways to be able to see,
should be able
live
to just track
imaging
down every single fish, just
under
pickpocket
20
every
feet.
single fish. I heard another outrageous thing, and I don't, this is like still very much on topic, but somebody was talking about somewhere where it's really big to primarily crappie fish. I think it was like Missouri or Arkansas or Kansas. I don't know. Somewhere down there that a guide, I guess, was just, he's like, once I got live scope, blah, blah, blah. It was just incredibly easy. You can literally pick, because you can see the size on there, like you can almost pick which crappie you want to catch and like fill your bag with certain sizes like that. You can fill it even faster rather than just like drifting and just kind of guessing and whatnot. And he was actually able to run more trips because he can get done with his trips faster and get their bag limits quicker.
Efficiency.
So that even if like they change the bag limits from 50 or whatever it is down there, something outrageous, to like 25, the captain or the guide with LiveScope could just run an extra trip that day and just
Yeah.
make more money and catch the same amount of fish, even if they lower the bag limit.
It truly feels at this point like, and I guess I'm happy that there's people talk, like it's a conversation that's happening now, but I don't want to be like a downer, but it truly just feels like it's kind of a cat's out of the bag type situation. Like,
Yeah.
are we really going to be able to stuff this back into all these live scopes back into cardboard boxes and send them back to the manufacturers and pretend like this
No.
stretch of, 5, 6, 7 years of this technology being out
It
there just
just
like doesn't ever going to be able to be used again? Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's more so instead of thinking about like, well, there shouldn't be live scope. It's like you're just, I almost feel like you're wasting your breath at this point. Like you're way better off trying to find proactive solutions and not be just predominantly reactive of like you shouldn't have one, and if you have one, go F yourself. And people are entitled to that opinion for sure. I'm just saying that like if you're gonna want to enjoy your time out on the water, I just feel like it's not going away. Like if you're gonna let it bother you every time you see somebody fishing with one, like it's just that's the reality I feel like we're going to be living in now,
But I
It's
think
like
if you want to have like a super negative outlook on LiveScope, like people see kind of the trajectory things have gone in the last few years, and I think they're kind of like trying to connect dots. Okay, 5, 10 years from now, like is this
yeah,
musky
I
fishing in
agree.
Minnesota thing like not really going to be even like a plausible thing to do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's good
Yeah,
to
I
think
agree.
about the worst, but I mean, what can you do? I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like I like the fact that people are trying to come up with proactive solutions and how to either, limit it or regulate it. Like, there, look, technology through and through, like no matter what, where you're looking at it, business, whatever, like it's regulated across the board. There's regulations all over the fucking place. So it's not like this is new shit to have like certain regulations on, advancements in technology. And even, people were like, well, there's no way you're going to be able to enforce one, obviously, like not fishing deeper than 20 feet. I think I was reading something where, there is fish sanctuaries in other places in the world where like you're not allowed to fish in certain areas. There's stuff like this. And one maybe really dumb parallel that I was thinking of is it's like, obviously now, yes, there's bag limits with muskie and all that stuff, but like, back in the 90s and 80s, we heard about this movement where everyone was just killing fish, killing fish, killing fish. And like when Muskies Inc. started to and people just killed fish. We've had people that we've interviewed that are just like, yeah, when we caught a muskie, we would kill it. Like that's just what you did. It was just like you just knew that. And I'm wondering if there's ever going to be a change where, like when Muskies Inc. had a, huge referendum of to like catch and release, if eventually we are going to see the muskie population like have to just regulate itself by being like, look, you just can't sh you can't go out there and just fucking clean up and sharpshoot. And there's probably always going to be bad apples, but the more people that kind of adapt that behavior, the better
If
we'll
they just
be.
if they set the ego aside and they're just like, hey, we're gonna, not sharpshoot a bunch of fish and, maybe accidentally bring one in from deep or accidentally snag one, just something wrong, and just use, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We're just it's I think it's being talked enough. It was totally swept under the rug, the whole LiveScope thing for years. And then now it's completely cat out of the bag. Like
Yeah, we're like, if you're
people,
out
I think
there
a lot of people know
sharpshooting,
now.
people will like eventually maybe just start looking at you like, all right, let's not do this, right? Like we're literally
We're
gonna,
past that.
yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's probably a really foolish way to think. I'm sure there's people from Minnesota listening to this going like, that will never ever happen. Like it just won't. Like they can probably list 15 people offhand that are like, well, they'll never abide by that logic or that, way of thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like the only way to do it would be to get these big manufacturers on board with setting regulations and like the actual computer in the
But they'd
sonar,
just
making them
be going
better.
against themselves, though. Like they're just, I mean, the only
Yeah, it
problem
would
with
be, but
like
I mean,
going
if
from
it's
the
like an
source is like,
it's a regulation. It's like you were saying, like there's tech regulations in every sort of business. Like computers are capable of like almost anything, but they don't allow them to be. Like there's a lot of shit that, is blocked and not allowed. Something like that would probably have to happen, or I don't know, you require them to get like a muskie stamp if you're going to fish for muskie in Minnesota, and then, they'd be forced to install some sort of update on their sonar that would only allow it to shoot 30 feet down all year round. I
you'd
don't
have
know.
to cap in order to be effective. You just have to cap it. You'd have to cap it at less than 30 feet, though. Because, like, I mean,
Yeah, is 30 that
realistically,
bad? 20 seems kind of harsh. I mean, like, at what? I feel like 20 feet's always. Like even up to 30 is fine.
yeah, I mean, I think we've discussed it. It's kind of like a gray area of like when there's,
Yeah, what different
barometric
lakes, different
pressure,
whatever. But I think
or trout,
30,
bear
but
trauma.
30, like, what are you really regulating at that point? Like, outside of just strictly snag or strictly bringing fish up from too deep, it's not taking care of the issue of like the whole just I think sharpshooting, because I think most people that are against LiveScope, it's not so much that they're against LiveScope as they're just against, and some people probably are just against the notion of having live imaging in your boat, but I think most of it's like people that are sharpshooting, like not
It's
making a
the
cast until they
sharpshoot,
see a fish.
I mean, I think the like if you did 30 feet, it starts somewhere. I mean, to just ban sharpshooting as a whole is even harder to do. But if you do 30 feet, I mean, at least they won't be pulling up fish from 40, 50 feet down.
Yeah, they'll sharpshoot the ones that are, 5 to 15, 20 feet down or whatever, as opposed to the ones that are 40, 50. Because, yeah, muskies do swim that deep. They don't just hit the barotrauma level and be like, oh, I'm not gonna go down here. They do go down that deep, so gotta be careful of that.
I can just see though, like this, it's such a nuanced and difficult argument on you really on both sides, because like I really don't think it's a black and white issue. And like even
No.
now I'm saying this, it's like, well, if you, yeah, I mean, if you regulate it and your beam isn't shooting lower than 30 feet and you're catching fish that are in open water, like what's the difference between, you know, you go out there and catch a fish because you see it on your live scope that's 22 feet down over just being out there and casting over a pot of bait on, you know, that you mark on 2D or side imaging. And I know, again, you're the real imaging, it's much easier to do that, but I'm just saying the actual catch, you know, the actual catch process of that fish doesn't change. You know what I mean? Like it's the for the
Yep.
health standard from that fish.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you could take away live scope entirely right now, and everybody that figured out the open water game is still gonna go do it. It's a thing, you know.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, I
very
keep in
interesting.
my head going back to like, oh, they're gonna take our guns away. Like, oh, well, you're gonna have to come pry it out of my hands. Like, it's the same thing. You're not gonna be able to like force people to, I don't know, download an update on their sonar or return it or whatever. So like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's gotta be something on the manufacturer side. Any new products, they'd have to regulate it themselves, but whatever. We'll keep checking for updates on this.
Yeah,
See where
I
it
would
goes.
probably be best for us to have like somebody that's from that area come on and talk about it because for like we kind of started out with like for us it's just harder for us to understand it fully because we're just not fishing those types of lakes and the feast or famine thing with live scope I just don't think applies to us as much
I
and
think what better way to do it
right
than to have our own little great debate? We get on like the deadliest sniper of live scopes from Minnesota and then a guy who hates live scopes, and we just let him square off.
dude that would
Honestly, it could
literally
be
go
pretty
down
good.
there's no way
It would be good, but I don't think
you'd
we could
have to
set
make
that up.
sure you have to make sure the two people we're getting on do not have just
We shake
fuses
your
that can be
hand.
blown.
What if we just like don't tell either one of them? So we just tell one person, like, hey, we want you to come on and just like talk about all these new regulations for live scope, and then have it tell another guy, like, hey, we want you to come on and, you know, just like
What do you
maybe
think of the new rec?
say why these why live scope is just all right, you know, it's
That
all good.
that would be fun. Maybe that'll be our
would be a
100th
fiery
episode.
pot. You never know. We said we had something coming up. Looking forward to.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's all just wild stuff. Fishing's still
Wild
fun,
stuff.
guys. Just keep that in mind.
All right, calling time.
Fishing is fun.
Bye-bye,
Let's
dude.
get it back in order. Let's run up with a little lighter note. At least I think it was. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
We've listened to them all, but some of them it's been a minute. So let's let her rip from this on the line.
What's up, boys? This is Phil from Green Bay calling in. I gotta admit, I'm so happy that the on the line calls are back. After a couple episodes without hearing any call-ins, I was thinking about doing my next on the line segment just off my back porch. You know, maybe the neighbor would hear it or something. Anyway, just wanted to reach out after the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. Shout out Gus and Clay. Man, what a blast doing the great debate. Both obviously master debaters. Well done by everybody. Just a lot of fun. That will be coming out on YouTube. As of right now, as I'm
Already
recording
out.
this, it is not out yet. But people listening, go check it out. It was a lot of fun to do. Like I said, we did not declare a winner at the debate. A lot of people, it was fun. A lot of people, when we put out that I was going to be the moderator, came up, asked me where my referee shirt was, brought up the idea I should have got a big title belt and declared a champion. But I think after Gus's resounding defeat in the
Hey, yo.
Huntsie Tails Bro Staff contest, Taylor just took him behind the woodshed with that, with the guarantee bucktail. I don't want to sit here and say that Clayton won the debate. I don't want to just pile on, kick somebody while they're down. But Clayton confidently declaring that he likes to wear thongs in the boat, when I clearly asked about
Wow.
footwear, it wasn't a boxers or brief question. It was a footwear question. But there's a lot of fun moments like that. So for those of you listening, go check it out. If you weren't able to be there, it was a lot of fun. Thanks again, guys, for letting me be the MC. And yeah, shout out ICP on the Three Lakes chain. Shout out Gus likes to start his day with a white monster in his hand. Right on, boys. Have a good one.
Right on, brother.
Right
on, aww. Phil.
What's that about Clayton wearing thongs on the boat?
Nah, he was asking about footwear in the great debate. We snuck in a couple fun questions and I said I'd like to wear the sandals with no thong, the toe thong, and Clayton likes the little toe thong flip flop sandals or whatever, you know.
Hella sus.
I don't know, man. Like, I respect it for sure, but like, God, that kind of, if you're set into a fish, doesn't that hurt? Jamming that webbing between your toes?
I know we're all slide guys. You could not catch me dead wearing thong sandals. Not me personally.
That just ain't your style.
I mean,
though.
I used to, but that's not the style.
Like, I don't even think you could pull them off, dog. Like, it's hard to pull off. I don't think you could.
You might be right. You might be
right.
Right? I don't know. It's been rocking the slides for so long.
White Adidas and your slides. That is a crazy look. I might have to try that. I might have to add that to my goodie bag this summer.
Yeah, maybe.
Might save
learn.
Your back. Hey, might save my back. Yeah.
Stick with me, kid. You might learn a thing or two.
All right.
All right. Let's rip the next on the line caller.
What's up, guys? With Northwood's opener getting closer and closer, I thought it would be appropriate to see what your season opener game plan is when it comes to what kind of structure you're targeting and what is each one of your guys' go-to opener baits. Cheers.
Oh, God.
That's now from Cam.
Flowing.
God,
thanks for the call, Cam.
Cam,
second
buddy.
Time caller in.
Cam.
Good night, Cam.
Buddy,
let's talk about...
Make me act up.
Let's talk about structure here, because he asked about structure specifically, not cover.
Wait, I'll guess... do the cover segment, I guess. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Also, by the way, I think I accidentally mistaken cover for structure or vice versa in the great debate.
Oh,
that was definitely minus a point.
Oh my God, that's
Gus,
Clayton. That's Clayton one. That's it.
Gus,
yeah, I know.
Gus,
I know.
Gus, are you fucking kidding me, man?
I know. I should have learned all those years. Learning about the difference between
about
structure and cover.
Gus, how many times have we been over that in the boat?
I'm sorry, Max.
We'll have a full pod on cover structure, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Probably not.
Maybe
all
a
right.
Big structure. All right.
All right, we'll lead us off with structure.
Falling down at the
here,
bottom of the lake has been there for 40 years, Gus. Is that cover or structure?
I don't even know what you just said.
A tree?
Dead tree that's been down at the bottom of the lake hasn't moved in 40 years. That cover structure.
We can't assume the lake's, if the lake's younger than 40 years, it's structure.
Mm.
Like, so more than 40 years, it becomes cover.
That's why. Hey, Brian.
Don't play with me, Mac.
That's insane. Structure, we want flats. Not super. We were, I think, what were we doing last year? It was like we either did big expansive bays, the structure lines don't move much, or we're doing steep shoreline breaks, like right from the shoreline. What you got, Max?
Can I quickly just go over our, he's asking for the game plan. We got, so we're doing a trip, me, Gus, Brian, another buddy of ours, Big Beast, Jack. And
Big Beast.
We will be in the North Woods bopping around, but we do have day one plan solidified, and then we're going to go off of that. And we're doing something a little different here this year. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that probably before, a week or two before opener. We're getting a little out of ourselves here. But we have day one already scheduled. We're getting up ass crack of dawn. We're hitting the system until about 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Loading up on beers, food, nap.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to another different system.
I doubt that nap happens.
Probably not going to happen, but then we're heading to another system that we know is good at this time of year, predominantly good sunset, maybe into dusk type lake. We're going to be fishing that from when beers are done to about midnight, 1 o'clock.
When the rest of the beers are done.
And then,
how many we bring, brother.
In the books. I'm pretty pumped for that. Instead of just the...
could be done by 10 p.m.
Little 9 to 5 shift. We're gonna break up the day, two different systems, see how it goes. I'm pretty excited.
Start dark water, shallow, stained, head to Clearwater in the afternoon and into night.
Mm-hmm.
That new weed growth. New weed growth. Brian, you want to talk about cover now?
Yeah, cover. And I'm going to loop in sort of a element here that, you know, is up for debate, whether it's cover or structure. But
all right,
like
Brian,
Gus.
Anchor that falls off a boat
All right.
and then gets covered up by a pile of rocks. So it's a rock hump that's actually
Ooh,
covering an
under.
anchor.
Okay.
Structure or cover?
That's structure for me. Personally. But anyway.
Really?
We're looking at we're looking for flats. Looking for flats, like Gus said. Flats, not steep shoreline, right? We're trying to relate to some spawning type areas. And this is the part where you let me ask you guys. And this is part of the game plan too, right? You want to find those mud bottom bays, right? They're gonna warm up quicker in the spring. Is that
Look at this
muck?
guy. Look at
Is
this
that
guy.
muck and mud? Cover, structure, none of the above.
I've seen a musky sit in that mud. I think that's cover.
Yeah, they kind of like soak into it, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen those shallow water mud muskies that we've caught early in the year. They're
Yeah.
dark. They're sunbathing.
Kind of like a
They're
flounder or
soaking up that
something.
mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. White bellies, black tops, green sides.
That's
Black
my favorite right
tops.
there.
Black tops.
Black tops.
Yeah. Yeah. White bellies.
All right.
White belly. Green side. Black tops.
That's the fish rafter right there.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the muck dragon.
I mean, our game plan pretty much the same. I feel like it's a lot of people on opener, you know, shallow weed, flat expansive shallow bays, mucky timber, you know, all sorts of things. But
look for the hot stuff.
We did find success.
I do have a tip.
One of Max's biggest fish was, you know, nature cast away from that shallow weedy flat.
At the mouth.
At the mouth?
At the mouth. Yeah, well, at the mouth of a spawning bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just outside of it, cast length outside of it. So basically, you could fish anything on opener.
Yeah, just stay. All right, jeez, Brian. Good, good, good. I wasn't going to let that slide.
Gus almost agreed there.
Like,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
wait
yeah.
a second. Did you say everything?
Yeah, you could just fish anything.
Outrageous, outrageous. I do have a great tip for those that are able to see their body of water before the ice is off. And I want to say I learned this from another podcast, another, you know, guy that's, it was probably some dude that's been fishing, you know, his entire life, like a older guide or something. But check out what is getting the ice off first. What's breaking away the shorelines first? What's getting the first sunlight? This year we actually had snow on the ice and we actually had a ton of snow. There's definitely most likely going to be some weed patches that died off that maybe didn't last year. Which is why there's such great weed growth last year on majority of lakes. Some didn't get it, but I'm already seeing some shorelines pull away and I am making note of those spots. Like, hey, that is for sure going to get, that's getting the most warmth. Like, you know, everyone says just fully North Bay, but sometimes it's not entirely true. You know, there's a couple western, kind of northwestern shorelines I've seen pull away pretty quick because they're predominantly shallow. Maybe
that
there's
would it
an
be
underwater
due
current.
I was gonna say, yeah, feeder creeks maybe.
Current, yes. There's one in particular I'm thinking that it's pulling away basically because I know that the current wraps around and then pushes up against a western shoreline, actually, where it doesn't really get that great late afternoon hot sun. It just straight up pulls away. From that as well as the morning and midday sun. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in the back burner. Look for that stuff that's breaking away first. What's opening up first?
Are you going to be on a spawning, you know, check this year? Are you going to be driving around looking for him slapping up on shore?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'll
and
be
then,
doing my smallmouth thing, and then I'll be bopping around new lakes and I, what do you want?
Are these going to be places that you are going to, you know, mark if you see two big ones getting it on freaky style? Are you going to be coming back there on opener?
I'm going to hit that general area for sure, especially if they're going freaky. If they're going like crazy style on there, I mean, I might just not even want to mess.
If they look like they're acting up,
Who's still listening to this podcast?
There's
Jot
just
that
no
down.
way.
Who called this in on? Cam? Cam made this call
Cam.
in?
That was
Cam,
Cam.
jot it down in the notebook if they're doing it freaky up on shore. Go back and hit that.
Yeah. Man,
Clipped it.
we missed you, Brian. We missed you. Oh man.
All
Well,
right, enough of that.
we got a few. I think they're short. We could just rip in these Nate Bud ones.
Yeah,
Apologies, Nate.
we've been keeping him on the sideline. We're tapping in the starting pitcher here. We got to bring him in. He's been in
Yeah.
the bullpen warming up.
All right, Nate Bud. We got another one from you. Let's
Get
let
it
it
off your
rip.
chest now.
Hi, this is Nate from Pittsburgh. I just call him. I was just curious. Do you guys ever think you might come to the Muskie Max lure show? I'm just driving back from it now, and I was just wondering. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks.
We'd absolutely love to.
That's
That
a
would
nice
be a
guy.
great.
That'd
be great to go
That'd
to
be
one of the
awesome.
Eastern shows, whether it's Muskie
I'd
Max
rather just
or
get out there and fish with
New
those
York.
guys and sit around and talk about fishing.
I know some of those shows you could just go to the show and parlay it with
Parlay?
fishing. I
Whoa.
mean, if you really want to cook.
Yeah.
Their show must be a little different than the Wisconsin show because there ain't a lot of people driving home from a full day at the Muskie show in Wisconsin. You know, we gave it some good innings, but that drive home, you know, be a little tough.
All right, fire up another one from Nate Bud.
We got one last one to catch up, Nate
He's he's
Bud.
got he's pitching his third pitch here. Let's see if he can strike out the batter.
Hi, this is Nate from Pittsburgh. I'm hanging out with my friend. Hey, I was just wondering, do you guys ever throw any rubber baits, like Bam Bam lures or anything in this show? What's your favorite color?
Yes.
I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Love the show.
He was with Brady when he made that one. So shout
Nice.
out Brady Bam Bam. Shout out Nate Bud,
Shout out
Honks.
Nate Bud's friend.
Which is Brady.
Yes, Nate from Pittsburgh. We do throw rubber. We do throw the Bam Bams. And unfortunately, I'm done saying my favorite color, Bam Bam. So you know what? If you want to find that out, you got to go back and listen through the last 98 episodes. Find that Easter egg. Because I
Paywall,
saw a little bit too many people walking out
paywall.
of the show with that color, and for my liking. And I'm
Paywall.
nervous that I'm just nervous, you know. I'm hoping I am. Well, we'll say this: the blue chartreuse Bam Bam. I'm very excited for it. Did pick
Blue
up one of
tart.
those. Thing looks awesome. So
Is that the
see how that
same?
one plays.
Is that
I'm
your
pumped
go-to
on this.
color?
No,
That's
but it could
new.
be. Might be. Might be.
I think so. So I'm digging that new, because you know, guys, I have this like weird infatuation with Wonder Bread, that color, for just no apparent
Sus, little
reason.
sus.
I am pretty pumped on his unicorn color, which is entirely pearl with bits and pieces and sparkles of who knows what, Wonder Bread stuff.
Right up your alley.
Yeah.
I know, Brian, you just absolutely hate this color completely. Brian, what's your
I
favorite
like
color?
white. I like white. A Brady's
Sure.
colors.
I think the question too was just any rubber.
Oh, any rubber
Yeah,
color?
I don't even
Damn.
think he asked about color. Max just kind of brought it up.
Oh, I
Or
think
maybe
he
he did.
said favorite color.
Favorite
Okay.
color? That's
Short-term
crazy.
memory loss is acting up already.
I'd have to think, man, but I am looking at this double dog that's brown body, black top, and pink tails.
Ooh, wait, let
White
me
belly.
see that.
White belly, black top, green sides.
Let me see
What
that.
you mean by that? When'd you get this one?
Yeah, wait, what?
Actually, shout out my sister. She got it for me for
Oh, that's
Christmas.
right. That's
No
right.
chance. Let me see this.
Is
This
that
thing's
KO?
pretty toit.
Yeah, that's the Keys Outdoors
Damn.
Pinkaboo. No,
Yeah.
Pink something.
Yeah, that thing
Ugh.
might.
Hot. Yeah.
That thing will
That
hunt.
might hunt. That dog might hunt right there.
That will hunt.
That do be a dog. To be a dog.
Damn, son.
Shout out Keys. That's his color?
I think so. I don't know. He's got a pink one on
Damn.
TRO. I don't remember what it's
Crazy.
called, but it's pink.
Crazy. Great minds think alike.
For sure. All right, let's get the next listener in here. Appreciate you, Nate, bud, of course. I know you'll probably be sending in more once we actually finally caught up on your
Where's he
your
from
pitches
again?
that were Pittsburgh. However you pronounced it.
Pittsburgh. From
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
All right, we got Nick on the line here. Let's hear it.
Hey boys, this is Nick. I am from West Bend, Wisconsin. But I'm currently a student at Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon.
Shut up.
I actually have a kind of interesting question. Everyone talks about the killing fish and power sniping and whatnot, hooking a fish bass that bleeds out. And I kind of, I didn't know, Kyle from Beyond the Eight, he had a video where he had a fish almost die. It probably did die later. But when you do have a fish die, like in your hands, which has thankfully not happened to me yet. I'm sure there's probably been other fish that have died after I've released it. But if you do have a fish die in your hands, what should we do with said fish? Like if a 36-incher dies because it swallowed a bucktail, I mean, what should I do? Should I keep it? Should I just let it float? I mean, that seems kind of bad. I mean, do I try to put it near shore so that no one runs over it? So what's your input on that? Thanks for taking the question, guys.
I
appreciate
sending the
that
call
in, Nick.
Brother.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Shout out.
That is a tough one.
Gus, you probably have the correct answer. I might go a different way with it, but why don't you lead us off?
Right.
Yeah, why don't you give us
I'll
the
lead
actual
us,
legalities?
I'll lead us in the right direction here. So let's take northern Wisconsin, for example, or just Wisconsin in general. We got a 40-inch size limit, unless otherwise specified. Certain lakes have 28-inch minimums. Some lakes have 50. Of course, you know, our neighboring places like Minnesota, Canada, they have 54-inch minimums and whatnot.
Know your regs.
So legally, yeah, if I was here fishing a lake and it has a 40-inch size limit and I caught a 36-incher hooked in the tongue, nothing I could do about it. Bled out basically during the fight and into the net. White as a ghost. Get it unhooked. Very unfortunate situation. You catch enough fish, it's going to happen. A fish is going to get hooked bad. Obviously, you got to have all the right tools, like hook cutters, the long nose pliers, some sort of jaw spreaders that doesn't mangle their face up or anything, you know. Of course, step one, try and release the fish. Get it back in the water. Maybe just don't take a picture. Maybe don't bump it if you think it's kind of on the verge of dying. And just water release it or something. Just try and get it to go. If it does not, it's going belly up. It's pale as a ghost or something like that. And that fish is 36 inches. I legally cannot keep it. There's a 40-inch size limit. I cannot keep that fish. If it's in my possession, that if I get caught there, that's a no-no. So you legally do have to release it into the water, even if it's dead. And you cannot bring it to shore or anything, like you're saying, to get it out of the way from the middle of the lake of getting, you know, chopped up or something like that, because then you would be legally transporting said fish and then it is in your possession. So cannot do that as well. If it is over 40 inches and it dies, I guess it's under what you want to do. I actually don't know what would happen if you technically release it if it died and it's above size limit. But if there was a 41 incher that dies in my hands, I'm probably going to keep it.
What?
And use it. I mean, I don't know. It's
keep it.
It's already dead.
You gonna
and
do
it's a
it.
Legal fish, and then it's in your limit, and you can't fish for the rest of the day. So,
what are you doing?
Would you, would you cry if you had to fillet a muskie?
I would cry if I had to personally fillet a muskie. Yeah,
crazy.
Maybe.
Crazy.
I would shed a tear, but
I'd
no, it would just
a
be
nice
a waste then. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
it sounds ridiculous. Like, okay, 36 incher, it dies. You have to release it. You can't keep it in your possession if it's a 40 inch size limit. But then it's a 40, and, you know, that's tough. That definitely sucks. But then it's a 41, and you do the same thing. That just kind of sucks. It feels like it feels like a waste. I don't know if I'm on, you know, the same mindset as everybody else, but like if I had to release that 36 incher because I couldn't legally keep it, it's below the size limit and it fully died in my hands, died in the net or something, like I'd feel bad not using it for something.
Does seem like a kind of a silly rule.
Yeah.
But I understand why it has to be in place because you'd need, you know, it's great having,
yeah,
probably good to have these size limits so you're not having a bunch of people keep a bunch of 36 inchers. But at the same time, yeah, if it dies on you, it's like, should be a pretty easy. What do you do? You're just leaving it's like a hazard if it's just floating in the middle of the lake.
My mind starts wandering. My creative mind starts freaking out here. I'm like, okay, 36 inch are dead. You know, instead of just leaving it there for a little fish to munch on, you tie it, tie a harness around it, hook it up to your drone and fly it, like Max said, up to an eagle, donate it to some of the birds in the sanctuary around the lake.
You probably could just put it on shore, though, like below an eagle's nest. You wouldn't have
you could,
to.
But it wouldn't, you could, but it wouldn't
like
be
like I said,
as,
you
like,
can't
ceremonial.
Transport it.
Well, Brian's talking about hooking it up to a drone.
I know. That was a little ridiculous. Not going to let that fly over here. Literally and figuratively. So
I would put it back in the water and try poking it, see if it'll start swimming away or something. And if
well
it
that's
doesn't...
what I said right away before I said anything else is try and release it. But no, I mean it's a hard thing to swallow. Like if you have a legal size fish and it dies on you, keep it. I don't know. Or just release it, I guess, and let nature take its course. Do what you want. It's legally, and if you're in Wisconsin, you have a 1 bag limit on a muskie over, you know, 40 inches on most waters, and you get a 41 incher die on you, you can legally keep it.
I mean, how
okay,
many muskie?
So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say a quick question on that. So if you're fishing and a fish dies on you and it's over 41 inches,
mm-hmm.
are you legally able to keep? Well, yeah, you'd be able to keep fishing that day. It's like if you catch your limit in crappies, you can keep crappie fishing.
Yeah, just not, you just can't catch another. And I think if you kill the second 41 incher, then you'd be breaking the law, right?
Then you just go to prison, straight to jail.
Straight to jail. I don't. is that not?
You know what I'm saying? Because I think in like the PMTT, if that happens, if fish die, man, I don't know. I'm kind of getting out of my
scope. You
gotta
be done fishing.
I'm getting out of my scope here. I'm not
comfortable
talking about
this. You have to be done.
Yeah, so
that's a tournament rule. That's a specific tournament rule.
Okay,
we're talking strictly DNR.
Yeah, forget that question. I think it's a dumb question because like there's plenty of people who catch their bag and
I was gonna say, dude, I'm pretty sure you gotta be done though.
Really? So it's not.
I think
a dumb
you have
question.
To be done. No.
Really?
There might be more to read that might be in.
So whatever we're saying, unless we get a definite answer here, do not take us at face value because we do not know. So
right. What we're saying before with the size limits and whatnot, true. The latest
true.
Thing, I'm
yes.
actually not sure. But just like, I don't know, I always thought of it as like somebody goes out and gets their limit in walleye, they're done. They have to be done.
Oh,
you have three in your possession or whatever it is. Say it's three, they're of size.
You have to be done.
Yeah, you targeting
you
walleyes.
You can't flip a jig the rest of the day.
Shows how much we walleye fish.
That's insane. So you're telling me like all 1,000 of those boats into pier right now, they ain't catching their limit.
They are trying to.
They're out there for a long time.
I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, if you run up on a boat of two people and they got their limit of 6 or 10 or whatever it is, if it's 5 or 3 per person, and they're still fishing for walleyes, they can't.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail. That's
right to jail. Somebody tell me if I'm completely wrong in that, but I'm pretty sure.
How many muskie die on the chain each year, do you think, from natural causes?
Natty causes?
I don't know.
Yeah, from just natty.
A couple percent for sure.
I mean, are you talking like... just old, like getting aged out, or are you talking like,
I mean, just dying, whether it's boat traffic or just, you know, shit in the water or stress from other fish, just dying, like,
yeah,
diseases. I mean,
it's crazy.
Know.
You don't see, you definitely don't see a, like the chain, you would think you'd see more floaters than you do.
Yeah,
I've
seen
like
them, but you don't see
one every 3 years.
I have
maybe I've seen two. What do they
Personally,
sing? Actually, two in my
never.
lifetime on the
I've
chain.
personally never seen a floater on the chain in 20 years.
And you know when I saw them?
When?
Both of them were immediately after the Spring Classic Muskie tournament in early
Damn.
June. Like, I'm talking the day or week after. So,
Yeah.
if
Well,
that.
that makes sense.
Yeah. And we've chatted on this. A lot of it boils down to handling, overhandling. We've heard horror stories of people keeping fish in a boat for 10 to 15 minutes during the Spring Classic. So, if you're one of those
It's
guys,
tough, man.
straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Great job.
Yeah, that'd be one of those things that wouldn't be the worst to maybe do a little PSA prior to tournaments on fish handling. And I know like 90% of the people will probably be rolling their eyes, but like, man, you can just remind somebody like, hey, I know it's exciting. You just caught a fish in a tournament. We don't need to have this thing touch every inch of the carpet in your boat.
When it's like 80 degrees of baking sun,
I
everything's
know you want the
drier than a.
slime in the boat.
Yeah,
Yeah.
want that
I
smell.
is hot take here on the whole fish handling thing. I was thinking about this the other day because I was, obviously everybody that posts something on Facebook that seems not super well versed in the muskie world, if they're handling it wrong or something like that, gets grilled. And yeah, it's annoying, but at the same time, like in a weird way, we're probably the most educated we've ever been as a muskie collective and fish handling. Because I don't know, man. I watch a lot of YouTube videos and it's crazy. Like 10, 15 years ago, when you pull up these old videos, like people are just netting fish and like picking them out of the water and dropping the net on the floor of the boat and stuff like
Yeah.
that. And, old using these old like rackety nets and fish are just, yeah, not like in the water. I mean, we didn't have, net buddies and big RF, drift wrecks. I don't know. Just feels like
Right.
obviously we can keep doing better, but
Right. No, absolutely agree, and we'll always be advocates on that as much as you may think we're joking around on things. Of course, we're, quite serious on all that stuff.
yeah,
So
don't go
while
take care. Yeah.
don't listen to Brian sometimes, maybe a lot of times, but
Sometimes, 5%.
so while you're wrapping up there, I quickly asked it. I am correct. Once you have your limit of walleyes, you must stop fishing for walleye for the day. On Google for the AI overview, which I don't know what it's exactly pulling from, I got the link. It says
You chat GPT guy now, I guess.
you must no not exactly you must stop fishing for walleye once you reach your daily walleye limit for the day in that specific body of water.
Oh,
But I
loophole.
know on here it's obvious, like, you cannot catch three walleye on said lake and then go to a different lake that day and catch three walleye and keep
Damn.
them. But maybe, is that like a what the heck? Now I'm confused. Could you just like go out on the chain, catch three walleyes,
Bring
and
him home.
bring them home, and then go back and fish somewhere
Yeah,
else and catch
of
and
course.
release?
You could probably go right back out in the chain. Ain't nobody watching. It's just part of the gray area of fishing. That'd be like trying to enforce a live scope ban.
That's what I'm saying, man. A lot of these regulations, like let's be real here. Fucking 95% of them are self-regulated. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, right.
I see a goddamn DNR person on the 4th of July in the Northwoods of
Oh, here we
Wisconsin.
go.
A lot
Or
of
never
things you
mind.
can do in this country as long as you don't get caught. Let's
Okay,
just remember that.
this is really, we're setting a bad precedent here. It's yeah, take care of your resources, people, please.
We might be breaking into the walleye market, walleye
No,
podcast market
I
here.
think the way I'm reading more into it, the way it's worded, when you catch your limit of walleyes, you have to be done.
You're done. You
You're
need to,
done.
you're
You're
done.
done.
All
But
right.
you could catch two on said lake and then go to a different lake and catch one. You can par bring it back. You can parlay lakes into a day to catch your limit.
Okay, but
But once
muskie,
you hit it,
hashtag
if you
walleyes
keep,
on tap.
if you're keeping your over 40-inch size muskie on
You're
a
done for the
lake,
day.
that you're done for the day. All right, good
You're
to
done for the
know.
day anywhere. Yep.
That
Good to know.
sucks. Imagine that
That would
happens on
suck.
opener. Fucking pack the bags and go
Oh,
home.
6:30 a.m.
All three
First
of us
fish of
got
the
a
day.
muskie. It's not per boat though. So if I kill it, you drop me off and y'all go have a blast.
Yeah.
You,
Yeah.
Brian.
That's crazy. Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
That's
let's
one
just
way to
keep
put
knocking
it.
on wood, guys. Let's keep not having fish do that on us.
Yeah.
No fish dying.
We've been
All right,
very
let's rip
lucky.
one more. All right, guys, let's rip one more on the line that we've been meaning to put on here. It is a longer one, but is very well done by our great friend, another Austin here, but this is Austin Wiggerman.
Good one to end on.
Great one to end on. So shout out, Austin. Let's let it rip.
Muskies on tap. What's up, boys? Gotta have a little shout out, shout in, whatever you guys want to call it. But Brian's probably not on this episode if you guys are actually reading
God
this,
damn.
the voice memo thing. But y'all, Wiggerman here, and I think I just needed to kind of address the negativity kind of piece to the last podcast of you guys yapping. And I want to say it was Brian, but I want to also say it was Max. And they referred to, it was Max, and he was referring to something he saw on Facebook that was kind of the verbiage of, you know, you're still musky fishing, you're like, we're not working, like, it's not a grind type of scenario. And one of my favorite quotes, or which don't quote me on the quote, but it has to do or to the effect of, I get to do instead of I have to do. And I feel like what makes this sport and the community and the life lessons and the experiences and the memories so special about musky fishing itself is that it correlates and flows perfectly into so much of life's lessons. I've done seminars, I've talked to so many people about this, and it's really what changed my life and made a big impact and kind of drove me closer and deeper into the sport itself when I was really getting into it. But I get to musky fish. I get to take that trolling motor and pick it up and take my 225 horsepower Merc and go 50 miles an hour to the next
Hell
spot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I get to throw this pounder all day and pray that something touches it. There's so many people that are working 14 hours a day, shitty jobs, just terrible lives, and we're out there casting a bait to catch a fish to take a picture with it and maybe get a few bucks in our tournament or get a little bit of satisfaction and happiness and memory with our buddies. No such thing as a grind in musky fishing. It's all about being in the moment, making the most out of every day, every moment on the water. I think being in the moment itself, to me, is the biggest piece of it. And I love the reinvent kind of new year, new goal vibes you guys putting off. Gotta enjoy every moment, make the most of it. And like you guys always talk about in the golf scenario, you can have one guy that hits a terrible tee shot, tops his second, and just has the mindset of, oh, I'm going to make my next shot, chips in for a birdie, and his buddy hits a bomb drive, chunks the wedge, goes mentally, you know, wayside, and lets it be the blow-up hole that turns into a quad and ruins the round. So life's all about a mindset. Golf's all about a mindset. Musky fishing is all about a mindset, and I think at the end of the day, if you can be in the moment, enjoy what you're doing, and really just be present with who you're with, what you're doing, and the memories that you're making when you look back on it, we're all so lucky, and the sport is truly special, and we get to do it. We ain't got to do it. So have a good year, boys. Appreciate if you end up using this. And Brian, I got a bone to pick with you, but I think we'll end up in the boat together this year at some point, so that'll be a good full day of grinding together. So, shout out.
Yeah, shout out, Austin.
Bring a tear to my eye.
Bone to pick in person?
Damn.
Hey, but it's good. It's good to end this podcast on a very positive note from a great online caller, Austin Wiggerman. Shout out. He's a stand-up guy. Absolutely loved fishing in the boat with him last year, going to try and fish with him a few times this year and get that to work out, because he's a great dude. Fishes Northern Illinois, Southern Wisconsin, and Minnesota. So,
yeah, well said from Austin. Just another reminder as we get closer to opener to keep everything in perspective. Good golf analogy from Austin. Is he a pretty good player?
He's a stick.
It's a
He's a
good
stick.
stick.
Flasher masher or
Yeah, I
flusher?
think both.
More of a lasher,
More of a
probably.
lasher. Yeah.
More lasher.
Yeah. Well, that
Yeah.
was well said, Austin. I might have to show up next time we have any pod.
Yeah, you
That was
probably
good
should.
stuff.
Every time we've had Austin on, Brian's just like, yeah, no, I'm out. For just no reason.
Not
It's
this
just
guy
all.
again. just
That
hasn't
was
lined. I
so
was on
awesome.
one of the times of them, I think. Has he been on three
You
times?
were. It was just
Yeah.
when it was just you and me, I think. One
Yeah.
time. He's been on three or four,
Yeah.
possibly four times. So you were on one.
Yeah, we'll
Yeah.
see what I can do next time. Hopefully, I would like to meet him though. Hopefully we run into each other somewhere this summer.
Yeah. Well said. And he just came out with an awesome new product. Gus,
Oh
you want to
yeah.
talk
Oh
about that and
yeah.
what he's got cooking these days? It's kind of a little
Totally.
business venture that he's embarked on here.
Probably a good thing that we held off on your on the line segment, Austin. Otherwise, it would have came out before he comes out with this. He sent this in, I think prior to it. Either way, Wave Products. He has come out WAV. You can check that out on the social medias or just go to Austin's Instagram or Facebook. He's been sharing it as well.
WAV, I believe that's pronounced
WAV.
WAV.
Well, you can talk to the maker, but we
WAV.
got Wave Products here. So he is making a rod holder that you can put in your boat to keep your rods safe from bopping into each other, getting caught up in each other and whatnot. I know a lot of people's have had some in their boat that are just beat to snot. I've been in Austin's boat. He has always used some sort of rod holder product, and I just remember his were already beat up, but it's a very high quality. I saw it at the Minnesota show. He had it in the AFTEC booth. Yeah, Wave Products LLC. So it's just WAVPRODUCTS.com where you can find that. USA made, backed and insured. They look
Shout
good.
out. Shout out
Very
WAV,
sleek.
man. Shout out WAV.
WAV.
All right, guys.
Back
Shout
to what he
out.
said, though. Perfect way to cap, I think, this podcast off because we kind of talked about a little bit of the feistiness, a little bit of the doom and gloom. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're younger guys. We're going to keep having fun with this, keep doing as best we can. You know, I think we definitely want to continue to use the podcast to get people on to, educate. So some things that I know we want to do this year is have somebody come on and talk about conservation. It would probably be good to do a more in-depth live scope discussion with somebody who is at the front lines of what's going on in Minnesota. Got to think that that's probably going to start making its way over the state of Wisconsin as well.
Right.
So,
So we might as well get ahead.
might as well get ahead of that, get learnt, as they say. But until then,
Learned.
yeah, we're just going to keep trying to have fun here and, make light of these situations because sometimes that's the best what you can do, So, yeah, we're
Right.
just going to keep having a good time.
Keep
Keep
having
having
a
keep it
good
on.
time. All right, gents, I think that does it for this week on the line segments, current events. We really got caught up in this one. Had a good time chopping it up.
Yes, sir.
So, let's leave the old socials. First off, I'd like to say if you are listening this far and have not hit that follow button or subscribe or
That
whatever it
follow
is,
button.
that little button there when you're listening to the podcast to get a notification that drops every week. Go ahead, do that. Share it with a buddy. If you have a fishing buddy, maybe he doesn't even like podcasts. Share it with him. Maybe he will like it. Maybe he'll turn into a podcast lover just because of Brian. Make sure you tell him
That's
to listen to
crazy.
a podcast with Brian in it.
A lot of pressure.
So, no pressure. But
Yeah.
yeah, we appreciate every one of you guys listening in and sending these on the lines. Of course, you can send those in by doing a voice memo if you have an iPhone or something very similar, or shoot me a text and say that you're going to give me a call and leave a voicemail. I can download it from there. So you can Send that over to 920-264-3816. Also, shout out, you can give that a text if you do want to book a trip this year under Suggs Fishing Guide Service. Go after some smallmouth bass in May, maybe a little walters, get our bag limit, got to be done fishing then. Go in, and then of course muskies, of course the old muskies, what this podcast is all about. We'll be running muskie trips from opener to ice up. So if you want to get in the boat, give me a shout. Socials are Muskies on Tap on Instagram and Facebook, Suggs Fishing Guide Service on Instagram and Facebook, and Muskies on Tap on YouTube. So thanks again for everybody tuning in to this week. Brian, you want to take
right,
it
everybody.
Away?
This episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to all the people that called in. Austin, A-Boy, Wiggy, Phil, Cam, Nate Bud from Pittsburgh, Nick, Cam, everybody else that called in. Joshua, y'all are real one for that. Appreciate y'all calling in. Really thought-provoking things Phil. Today, guys. Don't Phil. Already said it.
Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win?
Who's going to win the titty? I say Houston because then I will win our March Madness pool.
It's crazy. I think Dukington gets it done.
Duke.
For all, just... right,
all right.
All right, Brian.
All right, bye.
On the bottom of the water. Rock.
Trucker.
Rock, Trucker. That's been there for 100 years.
Cover.